You're listening to Last Word Soccer Club Radio. Only here, lastwordonsports.com.
What's up, Internet? You're listening to Last Word Soccer Club Radio, brought to you by the Beautiful Game Network, Last Word on Sports Incorporated, and our wonderful sponsors, Icarus FC and Roughneck Scarves. This is not Matt Pollard. I know you're used to Dan Sperry saying that, but it's me. It's Rachel Krieger, and me hosting only means one thing. Yes, we are back for a women's soccer podcast. Myself and my awesome co-host Trevor Tracy are here, and we are going to talk about all things NWSL. As you might know too, Dan is covering the KC Current for the KC Star now, in addition to his Sporting Kansas City work. So we miss him. We wanted to have him on to talk some KC Current, but that hopefully will happen next time. And then maybe we'll be able to get Harvey Cruz on too to talk about his Gotham FC. But we have Trevor. We're excited to have Trevor. He's got a lot of great experience covering this league already, and he is going to talk to us a lot about his new California teams. We will get to that a little bit later. But before I introduce Trevor and let him say some words, don't forget that if you're an MLS fan and you love chaos, we've got CONCACAF Champions League, CONCACAF qualifiers that are happening right now. Champions League happened last week with a handful of MLS teams advancing to the semifinals. But myself, Matt Pollard, Harvey Cruz, and Daniel Sperry chatted about all things CONCACAF on this week's podcast that was released, I believe, on Tuesday. Check out that podcast on Apple and other podcast channels. And now I'm going to bring in Trevor, because I know he's been sitting here waiting patiently, listening to me talk. So Trevor, welcome back. I'm very glad to have you for another women's soccer podcast. How are you? Tell the people what you've been doing.
I'm doing good. I've been taking in a whole lot of soccer the last couple of weeks here in LA. As you mentioned, we have two new NWSL squads, both of them located here in Southern California. It's been an incredibly exciting weekend this past weekend, with both of them making their debuts against each other. We'll be talking about that more in a bit. But yeah, just enjoying the start of a new season. Happy to be talking about games on the pitch and fun things happening, instead of just, I think the last time we talked, there was a lot of questions as to whether the season would take place, when it would start. So it's good to be talking about the games again.
Yes, smashing the retweet button on all of that. And I cannot wait. I'm going to tease it here just a little bit, because we are going to get to it in just a moment. But Trevor has so much awesome stuff to say about the first ever matches between the California teams. But before we get to that, we are going to jump right into it. Just to break it down for you guys tonight, segment one, we are going to be doing just a quick roundup of the scores. Trevor's going to talk to us about his experience there, and we're going to just say if anything really surprised us during the first week of the NWSL Challenge Cup. And then we're going to go into segment two. We are going to do team by team previews. Yes, there are 12 NWSL teams. We are going to have a timer. We are only allowed to stick to 5 minutes. They can be shorter or they could be exactly at 5 minutes. We will smash the end button on that, just so we are not here for the whole night. At the time of recording, it is night one of the CONCACAF qualifiers, and I know Trevor and I are super amped up for USA Mexico. I'm super amped up for Costa Rica, Canada. So we want to not waste anybody's time. We want to be concise, and we'll move on from that. And then we will do our roundtable and then our pick-ems. Let's get started. The first week of the NWSL Challenge Cup was underway, and we've got three groups, and it's a round robin style tournament, yada, yada, yada. And we had Racing Louisville and KC Current, 1-1 draw, OL Reign and Portland Thorns with the same scoreline, a 1-1 draw. The Orlando Pride hosted the Washington Spirit, the defending champions of the league, and it was a scoreless 0-0 draw. North Carolina got the win over Gotham 2-0, and Angel City FC and San Diego Wave opened up their first ever NWSL matches against each other in a California derby. It was 1-1, a very thrilling game, not boring by any means. And then on Sunday, we had the Houston Dash hosting the Chicago Red Stars, and Houston fell 1-3 in the match, Chicago picking up 3 points with 2 goals from Mallory Pugh. I'll keep my part short and sweet just because I want to get to Trevor's, but the only thing that really surprised me out of this weekend was the fact that Orlando just held their own. I mean, this is a team that was really talked about and not the most positive of lights this year. They had a lot, and I cannot stress a lot enough, they had a lot of roster turnover, and they just have a really, really young team. Amanda Cromwell, their head coach, and their general manager, whose name I'm blanking on, right, Ian Fleming, had said that, listen, it's a rebuild. It's almost like a rebrand of just our team. We've lost a lot of stars, but both of them have said, don't sleep on this team. They can surprise and they can fight just like any other team. So Orlando holding their own against the Washington Spirit was definitely an interesting scoreline this weekend, and definitely surprised me. But Trevor, if anything surprised you, please state it. And then please just go right into telling us about being in the box, being there for the first ever match for Angel City FC and the first ever match for the new San Diego Wave FC.
Okay. As far as surprises, I don't think anything really surprised me. I will say this. I was happy to see how good Kansas City looked. As we all know, they finished dead last season, had a rough go of it. So it was good to see them with the new roster, new additions. Lynn Williams is on the team now. We'll get to their preview a little bit later, but it was just good to see them doing good and holding their own against Racing. I know Racing weren't too much better than them last season, but again, when you're coming in as a team that was as bad as KC was at times last season, it's always good to kind of start the season off without taking that L and just getting a good result, putting in a good shift, which is what they did. As for the Angel City Wave match, as you said, I was there in Fullerton, California. It was incredible. I know the phrase, the vibes were immaculate, gets tossed around a lot and it gets overused, but this was truly a transcendent experience. It was like, the energy was unlike anything I've ever experienced. I think the official account for the attendance was just under 7,000. I'm sure the actual number was closer to 10,000. It was insane. There was a lot of Angel City fans, as you would expect. I will say this, fair play to San Diego. A lot of their fans also made the trip. I saw a lot of Sirens out there, which is their supporters group. So there was a handful of San Diego fans. That was great to see, but the match itself was great. It was just great to see players like Kristen Press back out there, to see Alex Morgan get a run in, to see a lot of the new players that are in new environments being brought over to both sides during the expansion draft. It was just great energy. I wrote about it for Angels on Parade. I said it felt less like a match and more like a family reunion. It was just a lot of people who had been waiting for this moment for literal years. Some people have been waiting for this moment since the LA Soul were folded, which was over a decade ago. So we have not just that generation, but a whole new generation of women's soccer and NWSL fans that were there. It was just a lot of love, a lot of positive energy. It was a great moment. I just cannot stress it enough. It was just really great energy to see the march to the match and the flares going off and to hear the fans cheering for 90 plus minutes. And then after the match, to see them yelling for their favorite player and to see players like Kristen and Allie Riley just staying after the match to really express their appreciation and show love back to the fans. It was really a great night. And it was one of those nights that gets you excited for the season to come, because as you said, This was the first in what is going to be a lot of fun matches between these two teams, set to be natural rivals, only a couple hours apart. It was great to see the turnout for Angel City, who were playing in a stadium that is about 47 miles away from where they're going to be playing regularly. They're going to be playing in downtown LA, so I know that the support is going to be crazy when they get to the bank. And it was just a great way to set up what is going to be a really fun 2022 season.
Awesome stuff, Trevor. I saw the pictures. I saw you're jumping from the LAFC game to the Angel City San Diego game. So it was a busy day, but awesome. Just so cool. It's nice living close to a team. I can say that now that I live about an hour away from Orlando.
Very much so.
Yeah, it's like right in your backyard now. No smack to the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. I miss you guys. All my love. But yes, the first two teams in the new expansion teams, if you will, getting a draw in their first match against each other. Awesome stuff. We are now going to jump into our team by team 5-minute previews. Here's the structure of how we're doing these previews, folks. We are going to say the team. We are going to say their record and their finishing place last year. We are going to pick a player and or players to watch, and then any other comments about the players, the coaches, et cetera, et cetera. And we are doing this in alphabetical order. So I am just giving you a fair warning. There is a section where Trevor does 3 in a row, and then there is a section where I do 3 in a row. So Trevor, since you are up first, we're going to have you go. And then when we get to that part where you're doing 3 in a row, I will give you the cue for your 5 minutes. Okay.
Awesome.
So Trevor's up first with one of those expansion sides, Angel City FC.
Yep, Angel City, as you say, expansion side, so no record for them for last season. They weren't playing last season. Their head coach, Freya Coombe, who they got from Gotham midway through last season, so maybe another rivalry in the making. Players to watch, the obvious one, Kristen Press, face of the franchise, first signing for the club. Everyone was dying to bring her home to LA. She's here. It's going to be great. Unfortunately, my other player to watch would have been Sarah Gordon. She suffered an injury during the training and preseason workout. So it's unclear how long she's going to be out, but she's going to be out for a fair amount of time. I would say next to Kristen Press, probably just watching the entire midfield. The midfield, especially this past Saturday, was really fun to watch. They got a lot of speed, a lot of great passing. We saw Savannah McCaskill with the first ever Angel City goal. That was coming off of an excellent pass from Ali Riley, the defender out there. So this is a team with a lot of star power, a lot of big names. And I think that you should always watch expansion sides just because you never know. This is a team that, being in LA, is going to come with a lot of expectations. They've built their roster as such. They have a lot of chemistry. I know I'm biased covering them on a day-to-day basis, but just being in the Zoom meetings and the press conferences and the availability, seeing them on the pitch during training, this was a team that from the start just had a lot of chemistry, a lot of good vibes about them. They're ready. They have a team full of competitors. They talk often about wanting to live up to whatever expectations are set. So I think in terms of what to expect for them this season, I would expect goals. I think we saw that Saturday. There was, even though it ended in a 1-1 draw, there was a lot of opportunities for Angel City to get plenty more goals. And you would presume that they would start scoring as the season goes on and as players get their legs under them. I think this is a team that can compete from match day one. I think that the league, for the first time in a while, might be as wide open as it's been. I know Washington is coming in defending champs. They are probably still the best team in the NWSL, but there's been a lot of turnover. I think we'll talk about this often with a lot of teams. There's been a lot of player movement, a lot of teams coming in with brand new head coaches, some coming in with new front offices and ownership. So I think if there's any year for an expansion side to really make some noise and be impressive to be impressive in the league, it would be this season, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's Angel City.
Good stuff, Trevor. You clocked in at 2 minutes and 49 seconds. I'm curious to see who will clock in at the shortest time, and it'll probably be me. I'm already going to put my money on that.
That'll come in the 5 minute mark, but it's a good benchmark to set.
Yeah, nice and concise, and you hit all the spots. The next team that we have on the previews is the Chicago Red Stars. In 2021, they featured an 11-5-8 record. They were in fourth place. And of course, as we know, they were in the NWSL final in Louisville against Washington and lost that game. My player to watch for them, it was hard to pick, but I'm going to go with Morgan Gautreau because she was the most influential player, I think, for the team in 2021. And I'm just very curious to see if she will be able to carry that over into 2022. Mallory Pugh, she's going to score the goals. She scored twice in Chicago's opener against Houston. I think she's got a lot more up her sleeve, but with her being on the radar for the national team, it'll be intriguing to see how they do without her. So that's why I didn't pick her for my player to watch. I think that Gautreau is definitely going to get looks with the national team, but I'm going to be intrigued to see if she does get called up for the CONCACAF Women's Championship, the qualifiers in July. And we will talk about those later. Yuki Nagasato, she's back with the team after spending a year in Louisville. She had gotten engaged in the off season and she requested the move back to Chicago to be with her partner. But as I had mentioned with Mallory Pugh being gone potentially for international duty, I think Rachel Hill could very well be an extremely underrated attacker in this league. And I say that because she's going to fill in that role of being the goal scoring threat whenever Pugh is gone, but also with the injury to Kalia Watt, she is going to be relied on now more than ever. Chicago, they've always done a very good job drafting, and they did it again with I think their assistant coach was doing the drafting this year because Chris Petrelli had not been nabbed the head coach yet at that point. But they always do a good job drafting, and they got Ava Cook and a couple other attackers, but I still think they need a veteran in front of goal. Somebody who needs to score goals is Rachel Hill. So I will be, watching out for her this season and seeing her, her tally for goals. But I think one of the most interesting players for the Chicago Red Stars isn't even with the team right now. Sarah Lubert has been on loan with Club America and Liga MX Femenil for quite some time now. She is just an assist machine down there. She has 4 goals for America, but she is just, I mean, the link up between her and Caddy Martinez, I could go on and on and on. I covered the league for Equalizer, and one of the biggest joys to watch has been Sarah Luber in the role she has with America. And to be honest with you, I could see her staying with the club. I could see her not going back to Chicago. She is pretty much guaranteed the playing time with Club America. And I don't know, if I'm her, I'm pulling a Mia official and I'm staying in Mexico. But those are my thoughts. And I clocked in at 3 minutes and 11 seconds for the Chicago Red Stars. And now we are on the first section of three teams in a row. Trevor, I will give you your cues unless you finish up early, but
I probably will.
One of three starting now.
All right. So let me settle in here. We are going to get started with the Houston Dash. They had a record of 9, 10, and 15 last season. Their head coach, James Clarkson. And they are coming off a really disappointing end to the season last year. They needed just 1 point from 3 matches to sneak into the last spot of the playoffs, to get into the postseason, and they failed to do so. And not only did they fail to do so, they got shut out all three of their final matches. And so this is a team that, with a lot of expectations, normally a team that expects to not only be competing in the postseason, but competing for it all. So this is, it was really a disappointing end of 2021. The player to watch for me is always going to be, when it comes to the Dash, Rachel Daly. She's the heart and soul of that squad. As she goes, they go. There's been some turnover with them. I believe they lost, Christy Mewis to expansion draft and then a trade where she ended up with Gotham FC, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yep, correct.
So yeah, so they're another team that's going to be going through a lot of turnover. As far as coming into the season, like I said, they're going to be expected to do big things. Will they do it? I'm not sure. The league as a whole just got a lot harder when you add teams like Angel City and San Diego Wave with the roster that they've built. It's going to be more competition. You have other teams that have gotten a lot better in terms of their additions to their squad. So I think for them, it's just going to be getting into the postseason. That's going to be their big thing when it comes to the Houston Dash. So that one was nice and short and sweet, as are most of my previews.
Next up, keep it rolling, brother.
Yeah, I was under the impression these were supposed to be a lot shorter, so I keep mine really concise. Next up, we have the Kansas City Current, the former New Kids on the Block. Last season, they were going through their kind of their branding, and they didn't really have a name till the end of last season. They were just really the Kansas City Soccer Club. So it's nice to see them with the name now. They finished 3-14-7 last season. Head coach Matt Potter. They were very busy in the market. They have a couple really good moves in adding Sam Mewis and Lynn Williams. I think both of those are the players to watch coming into this season. I mentioned it briefly earlier. Lynn Williams is such a fun player to watch, especially when she's on. I mean, she scores a ton of goals. She has the potential to score a ton of goals. She really opens up the play. She finds the right passes. She can be a leader within this squad as they work to find their identity within the league. This is a team, as I mentioned earlier, they looked really good in match one. I know the Challenge Cup is a lot harder this year to really predict and kind of get a judge off of, because so many teams are taking it as a glorified preseason tournament, which that in and of itself I have thoughts on, but so it's kind of hard to get a read on teams like that, but it was really nice to see them come out the first match, really look good. I think once Lynn kind of gets integrated to that team, and once her and Sam kind of get going and build that chemistry, I think this will be a team that has a vast improvement. I think they're someone to watch to finish probably, I would say, as high as the top five, maybe like that 4 or 5 spot when it comes near the end of the season, which would be incredible turnaround for them. So I think that is a team that if I was making bets tomorrow, I would probably put my money on to have the most improved season. And then last one for me for now, Gotham FC. Everybody's heard about them. Everybody knows about them. The hottest team on Twitter at times. They finished 8-5-11. As I said before, Freya Coombe, poached by Angel City, probably like a quarter way through the season. There was talk at the time that she would finish out the year. She wanted to. Obviously, that didn't happen. I think to the best for everybody, you can't really have a coach in there trying to coach their last year while also trying to help a team build an identity like the expansion side Angel City was trying to do. But they brought in Scott Parkinson. Now he's coming into the season, first full season at the helm. They lost both of their goalkeepers. Didi Haricich and Kaylin Sheridan, both of them went to the expansion sides. Sheridan with San Diego, Haricich with Angel City. So they have a new goalkeeping spot to work out, which is always going to be hard for a team. They're players to watch. I personally always look for Midge Purse when I'm watching a Gotham game. She is so much fun to watch. She's a player. Obviously, if you've watched the national team, you know about her. She can score a ton of goals. I think her success is going to determine a lot of the team's success. I think if she can get going, score a lot and at least compete for that kind of league-leading scorer honors, I think that'll be another team that comes in and does well and finds themselves in the postseason. They finished 5th last year. I don't think they'll finish as high. I think they're probably going to sneak into the postseason. But I would be surprised if they don't at least get there. I think they have a lot of holes to kind of fill, and it'll be interesting to see Parkinson in his first full season. But yeah, that'll be, as always, a fun team to watch, and it'll be interesting to see what they do this year.
I really love Scott Parkinson. I feel like he's just one of those, like, I don't know. He just seems super duper likable. So I really like Scott Parkinson.
Definitely one of the good guys around the league so far, from what we know.
Yes, I was just about to say the same thing. And I don't love some of the offseason decisions Gotham has made, getting older instead of getting younger. But I do love Scott Parkinson, and I want good things for Scott Parkinson. And another good guy around the league, I believe, is the head coach of the North Carolina Courage, Sean Nahas. And that's who I have. Now it's my turn to go three in a row here. So we're going to start here with North Carolina, a team that has some pretty filled up shelves on their trophy case. They went 9-6-9 last year, barely squeaking into the playoffs in sixth place, just ahead of the Houston Dash. My player to watch for them is Carolyn, although she has not arrived with the team yet. They have not really specified why she isn't there yet. They have just said that she hasn't arrived. It's an excused absence. But since she hasn't arrived yet, I decided to break the rules and pick another player who is actually there. And that's Abby Erceg, because listen, this team has had a lot of roster turnover as well, just like the Pride, but Abby Erceg stayed. She said, I don't care how many people go, I'm staying. I'm with North Carolina. She is actually the biggest reason that Sean Nahas got the interim head coaching job and then took on the head coaching job. So, but this is a new look North Carolina. They have Dabinia, they have Abby Erceg, but a lot of new players. Once she gets there, I think Carolyn will be really huge for them. And then, of course, don't ever sleep on Dabinia. She's one of the most dangerous goal scorers in the league. She is known for her bangers, as we all know. But it's a youthful team. I love their goalkeeper, Casey Murphy. I think she is a top goalkeeper. I do think, and I'm sorry, Alyssa Nayer fans, but she should be the number one goalkeeper in the U.S. Women's National Team. Absolutely no questions asked. The only other person I could see taking that spot is Aubrey Kingsbury, formerly Aubrey Bledsoe of the Washington Spirit. Not too much to say here about North Carolina. They did get a 2-0 win to start out the season. Brianna Pinto, new player coming back to her hometown from Gotham, scored against her old team. And then Erceg with a goal as well. That's it for North Carolina. For me, I'm going to go to, they're not my hometown team, but I really have always been a fan of Seattle teams. Go Sounders, go OL Reign. And next up we have OL Reign. They in 2021 surprised a lot of people with a record of 13-3-8. They were second, and they were super close, just 2 points shy of tying Portland for the first place spot. And looking real quick at goal differential, yep, they would, if they tied them, they wouldn't have won or taken the first place spot on goal differential. So 3 points away from taking the first place spot over Portland. My player to watch for them is Fallon Tullis Joyce. This is a team that had a bunch of unknown goalkeepers on their roster fighting for the number one spot, but it was Tullis Joyce that got the nod in week one over Portland. They have UNC goalkeeper Claudia Dickey on their roster as well. She was lights out in her collegiate career. I used to call games for the University of Pittsburgh women's soccer team and both of those teams in the ACC. So I've seen Claudia Dickey play a number of years now against my Pitt Panthers. But they picked up Veronica Latsko, Pittsburgh native, in the offseason. And I think she's going to be huge whenever players like Megan Rapinoe, Jess Fishlock, and quite possibly, and I think it should happen, Bethany Balser get called into the U.S. Women's National Team, Rose Lavelle as well. Sophia Huerta, man, she hit a banger in week one. And she is somebody who, in my opinion, never got a fair crack at the national team under Jill Ellis. And thank you, sweet Lord, baby Jesus, that Vlatko Andonovski watched her play, competed against her. Well, I should say coached against her and realized, yeah, this is somebody who can make the national team a lot better. And now she's a more consistent player. She has found her position as a fullback, somebody who does very well defensively, but also gets up and helps out with the attack. Rose Lavelle decided to sign a two-year deal after a lackluster spell abroad. And then Quinn is one of the best all-around midfielders in the league. Their passing is just ridiculous. Their defending is ridiculous. And Quinn is not afraid to get in the attack as well. Don't be surprised. I think Quinn could be one of the best NWSL players this year and could possibly go for a shot at MVP. But that is one of my longer previews of the OL Reign team. We now have the Orlando Pride coming up. This, I guess you would call my hometown team now, because I am in the outskirts. I can't speak today, Trevor. Outskirts, although skirts is a word, whatever. Outskirts of Orlando, about an hour away. Their record in 2021 was 7-7-10. They were in eighth place. Orlando started out the year really, really hot. And it was very surprising because a lot of people were seriously doubting Mark Skinner and his ability to coach that team, but they were winning under him. And then he left. He decided to go to Manchester United. Completely understandable. The guy was away from his family for a very, very, very long time. They ended up getting Becky Burley as the interim head coach. And then, as I mentioned earlier, they hired Amanda Cromwell from UCLA to come and coach the team. My player is player to watch is Marta, of course, the Brazilian legend. Come on now. She knows how to score the bangers. She knows how to lead this team. And it was Ian Fleming that said, listen, Marta is such a magnet. People want to come play for the Pride because they get to be teammates with Marta. And she's just the all-around face of the club that he mentioned. He said there's really no other person other than Marta who would be considered the best and the biggest leader on this team. But Sydney LaRue needs to be a leader as well on this team. She has been for quite some time now. But her and Marta have to be the key figures for this team. It's a super duper duper young team. There are not a lot of returning players on the roster. And to be honest with you, they made news before the season even started with Mia Fishel being drafted at the number six spot. She left in order to A, make more money, B, score goals, and C, potentially lift a trophy with Tigres in Liga MX Femenil. And to be quite honest with you, she is thriving there. She recently just scored two goals for Club Lyon. But Megan Montefosco, I hope I said that last name right, formerly Megan Oyster, she was picked up from the Houston Dash. Trevor, I remember looking back at the old notes when we were doing, when I was making up the new notes for this particular podcast that I think both of us had said that Megan Montefosco would be taken in the expansion draft, and you and I were both super duper surprised that she was not. I think she has been one of the best center backs in the NWSL to date. I don't understand why she doesn't get a consistent call up on the U.S. Women's National Team. I hope that changes. But this year, you know, with all of the odds against Orlando, if she has a strong year, she could really stake her claim to be on the U.S. Women's National Team roster for years to come. She was previously overlooked in Houston for the national team, only getting a couple of call-ups. So Orlando, really, they have the odds all stacked against them. But when we did our media call with Amanda Cromwell and Ian Fleming, Amanda Cromwell said, listen, that's fine with us. I'd rather be the team that nobody bets on than the team that everybody has a million expectations for. So that's the preview there for the Orlando Pride. And now I need to go back to my list. We are going to the Portland Thorns, the rival of OL Reign and one of the teams in the NWSL that doesn't have to say, well, we're the only legitimate geographical rival anymore now that there's the California teams. So tell us about the Thorns.
Yeah, I will say real quick. One, we were both very surprised Megan wasn't taken in the expansion draft. And two, kind of doubling back to the Reign, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, speaking of rivalries, I wouldn't be surprised if what we see this weekend, we'll get to that match later, between Angel City and the Reign is a sneak preview at what could be a fun budding rivalry there. But going to the Portland Thorns, Portland, man, what is there to say? So much to say. Not all of it great. In terms of on the pitch, it was great last year. They finished 13-6-5. They won the Supporter Shield. They finished, or they got eliminated in the semifinals by the Chicago Red Stars, who went on to lose in the finals to the eventual champions, Washington Spirit. Head coach Rian Wilkinson. Players to watch, in my opinion, Sophia Smith. If you've been paying attention to the national team, you'll know she's a young rising star within the national team. She's a young rising star within the league, only 21 years old. She's incredibly fun to watch. I think if you're watching the Thorns, you also got to pay attention to Rocky Rodriguez. They're in the midfield, always fun. As well as, well, Crystal Dunn is always a player you should watch. But if you don't know, she's currently expecting a child. Congratulations to her. So we probably won't see her this season. She is out there training with the team, getting in the cardio, keeping fit, keeping that exercise going, staying active. So it's great to see her with the squad still. They could still very much use her experience, her leadership, her presence there is always great. But yeah, in terms of on the pitch, this is a team like a few teams out there that expects to be competing, will expect to be competing this season. They are very disappointed with the way their season ended last year. I would expect them to be gunning for that top spot. Expect to see them in the playoffs. Unfortunately, they will probably be the most hated team in the league coming into this season just because of so much happening off the field, just the mess that seems to be Portland right now. Which is a shame because, as I mentioned, the players on the squad, the players themselves are really fun to watch. They're really great people. So it's really a shame that their season coming into 2022, when there's so much excitement going on, is kind of has this black cloud around it. So hopefully that gets situated in the very near future. But in terms of on the pitch, this is a team that will no doubt be looking to establish itself as the best team, not only in the league, but on the West Coast. As you mentioned, two new California teams ready to compete from day one. This is going to be a really fun season for that very fact, because Portland will not want to give up being kind of the in quotation marks, the team on the West side. Now they have the OL Reign to think about. Now they have Angel City and San Diego to think about. Chances are there will be more teams added to the West Coast. So their window kind of for the supremacy of the West Coast is dwindling. But yeah, this is a team I would expect them to finish no lower than third, to be honest. They're still a really talented team, even without Crystal Dunn for the season. I think this is a team that will get it done. So yeah, expect to see them in the playoffs. Will they win it all? I'm not so sure. I still think if I'm giving a pick today, which I probably might, I still would be leaning toward the Washington Spirit to repeat. But I would definitely be surprised if Portland isn't at the very least in the quarterfinals, probably even the semifinals once again. But yeah, expect to see them often in the win column this year.
Portland Thorns were the Challenge Cup winners in 2021. I almost just said 2020. Oh, good Lord. So thank you, Trevor, for that. Yeah, a lot of craziness going on with the Thorns, with the Timbers, but it all connects back to two people that we don't want to mention their names because we don't like them. So we are going to move on from that. And Trevor, in the spirit of authenticity, we are going to call them by the name that they should be called by. Good old Rossing Louisville. Yep, I said it. That's how it is. I don't care what nobody says. That's what it is. And no, I'm not saying Louisville like I've heard people in Louisville say. They say Louisville. I still don't know how to say Louisville. But anyway, Rossing Louisville, they were in 2021, 5-7-12. They were the expansion team that year, and they finished in ninth place. Listen, fam, Rome wasn't built in a day. They also had a lot of head coaching, smorgasbords and chaos, and we're leaving that crap in the past. My player to watch for them is Ebony Salmon, because she was on fire when she first arrived to the National Women's Soccer League, but that flame kind of fizzled out. And I think this year, if they want to be a contender, I think they need her to be back on her attacking prowess. They are losing Shayna Matthews. Congratulations. She is expecting her third boy, God bless her, and her husband, Jordan Matthews, because I don't know if I could handle that. I interviewed her last year for Equalizer. She is truly, and I honestly genuinely mean this, she is probably one of the nicest people that I have ever talked to in my 25 years on this planet. She's just a wonderful person. So congratulations to them. But just my comments on the team, I think Katie Lund surprised a lot of people last year. She stepped up big for a couple injury spells for Michelle Bedos. She ended up winning that starting number one job over Bedos, who is now with that new goalkeeper union in New Jersey that Trevor alluded to when talking about Gotham. Katie Lund could very well become a household name if she has a strong season with Louisville. I think she's a really, really good keeper. I think Ceezee Kaiser is extremely underrated. She's somebody who knows how to score goals. And I believe she scored the one goal for them in their match this weekend against Kansas City. I'll have to fact check that and go back later. She did. Okay, great. Thank you. I appreciate that. So they've got rookie Jalen Howell. She is a Florida State phenomenon, but can she replicate that success with Florida State, winning two collegiate titles, to Louisville? I think that Louisville, yes, they have a young team, but they have some really promising players. If Trinity Rahman didn't ball out and had the season she did last year, I think the obvious pick for rookie of the year would have been Emily Fox. She had a very strong season with Louisville, even though their record doesn't show that for their players. But of course, we know Rodman balled out and Fox finished second in that voting. They also have another second year player who I think people shouldn't sleep on, and that's Emina Ekic. I think she is very lethal in front of goal. And this season, with just kind of the shuffling of attackers, and with Matthews being out, I think she could play a big role. And to be honest with you, those attackers, they have one of the best players to learn from, and that's Jess McDonald. She came this off season, and she is the assist queen in the NWSL. So congratulations to her on that. But I want to take a second to talk about the new head coach. I'm probably going to say his last name wrong, so I do apologize. But Kim Bjorkengren is the most interesting coaching hire for me this offseason, and it's all for good reasons. He was very successful in UEFA Champions League. He had a major team in Cyprus with Apollon Ladies, and they were winners and winners and kept winning things. I'm super duper excited that he's here in the NWSL. He seems like a great guy. I'm hoping I get the chance to interview him this season. But the crazy thing is when you look at the men's game, it's, well, coaches who are coaching in MLS, they want to make that leap to any of those European leagues, right? Well, in the women's game, the NWSL is considered the top tier. Although the WSL is growing, the Frauen Bundesliga is growing, La Liga, Femenil is growing, Liga MX Femenil is growing. But Kim Bjorkengren, he made that jump from Europe to the United States, and that just shows how important the NWSL is. And now he's taking that step from Cyprus and from Apollon Ladies, and he's coming to the big league. So I'm excited to see how he does here. And I officially hit 5 minutes, so we are moving on from all of that, and we are going to go back to Trevor, and he is going to tell us about the other California team, the San Diego Wave FC.
Yep. Sun sets on the West Coast. The segment is going to set on the West Coast. We finish up with the San Diego Wave, second expansion side. So obviously no record for them last season. Technically, this team last season was supposed to be Sacramento's team before some things occurred and San Diego took advantage and kind of snuck in from under that whole situation. Their head coach, Casey Stoney, as you mentioned, with Rossing's coach. I guess I should say their name proper since we're doing that. This isn't the Wave FC. This is the Wave. the Guavementes. So this is Casey Stoney's first season at the helm for them. She comes in from Europe, was the head coach over at Manchester United. I actually had them at the top of the league for most of their season before injuries occurred, and we later found out that unfortunately the club wasn't properly supporting the women's side. So she left that situation, came over to San Diego. And as far as players to watch, the obvious names, Alex Morgan, Abby Dahlkemper, you know them. You've seen them play, legends of the game. But to me, I would also keep eyes on the first draft pick for the Wave, Naomi Girma out of Stanford. Incredible defender. She did really well holding her own. I mean, you're staring down an attack of Kristen Press and Endo. I mean, it's not a great prospect for your first match, and for them to only come away with one goal, and for her to have the performance that she did for the time that she played, as she gets her feet under and gets used to the league, was really fun to watch. I think she's going to be a cornerstone of that defense. I think she's going to be a really great player to watch. I don't know if she'll have quite the season as Emily Fox did, maybe not the impact just because of the way San Diego plays, but definitely a player along those lines where in a couple of years, I think you're going to be looking at Girma like, yeah, that's one of, if not the best defender in this league. And then also I would keep an eye on Kelsey Turnbow, the midfielder coming in. She has been someone that the coaches have been raving about all preseason. They love the way that she plays. She got some time on Saturday, looked really good, but the coaches just rave about her, talk about her. So that's someone that I'm personally keeping an eye on, because anytime coaches spend an entire preseason and various availabilities telling you about a player, it usually means you should go into the season and watch that player, because they obviously have plans for her. So it'll be interesting to see how she does in that system. In terms of San Diego, what I do want to say about them, because I think the expectations for them coming into this season are just to build a foundation, to build an identity. I think of the two expansion sides, they are the more expansion of the two sides, where in terms of just kind of creating that identity, kind of that connection with their local community, I think that's still very much growing and will continue to grow over the course of the season. So I think you could look at this year kind of like a building year. It'll be great if they end up in the postseason. I personally don't expect it. But one thing I do want to say is they are very much trying to change the culture, not just in the NWSL, but in American soccer as a whole. One thing Casey Stoney has been adamant about doing has been to try to change the mentality of players coming in. She's mentioned before that the American soccer system is a bit toxic in terms of, you know, forcing players to feel like they have to be perfect. You know, a mistake leads to being benched, and obviously no player wants to be sat on the bench. So it breeds this mindset of, I can't make mistakes, I have to be perfect at all times. And Stoney is coming in saying it's okay to make mistakes. That's how we grow, and really instilling in her players that this is going to be an environment where they can feel free to be creative and feel free to try things without the fear of failure, without feeling like should something go wrong, then that's their playing time, because it's not. And so I think just in terms of what they're trying to do as a team, that's something where they're going to be, if they can continue that, I think that's something that the league really needs. And that's something about both expansion sides that have come in, trying to change the culture of the league and really setting the standard high for other teams to follow. So in terms of on the pitch success, I don't think they'll have too much of that this season. I think there'll be a lot of growing pains, but just off the field, off the pitch, it's good to know that they are at the very least building a foundation and building an environment where players will want to come and play and grow and thrive and be successful. Because I'll tell you what, with two California teams now in the league, you better believe that players around at other teams are looking over very curiously as to what these two teams do this season, because I promise you in the near future, we're going to see some bags being packed and some money being thrown around and players jumping ship and coming over to the West Coast. So I think we're setting up to be a great season for the Wave. Hopefully they make some noise. Hopefully they surprise, but I don't anticipate it, unfortunately. But they should still be a fun team to watch. I think that it'll be fun watching them grow into what I think they could be, which is a team that for the future will be one that competes, but just not for 2022.
Since he had good points and we have gone short on some of those other ones, I win. Trevor clocked in at 5 minutes and 31 seconds, but I will let it. I will let it slide because I think we had a little wiggle room for a 31 second. what's the word I'm looking for? 31 second, whatever. I don't know. He went over 31 seconds, but it was all good stuff.
Important stuff, culture changing stuff.
There you go. Exactly. I mean, we had the wiggle room. So for the last team in our team by team preview, we have the defending champions, the Washington Spirit, who completely ran away with it last year, ended up finishing with an 11-6-7 record. They did not. They were the Seattle Sounders of 2021 and NWSL. They started off slow, got better in the middle, and then just completely ran off with it and then lifted up a trophy. He who shall not be named got sacked, and in came Chris Ward, a wonderful head coach, was rewarded for his efforts for leading Washington to an unbeaten rest of the season with him at the helm, despite those two games that they were out because of COVID protocol. Chris Ward got rewarded with taking the interim tag off of his name, becoming the permanent head coach. But easily, come on now, the player to watch, Trinity Rodman. She got the bag. There ain't other way to say it. She got the bag. But now can she deliver on her sophomore season? Can't take really anything away from one game. Kudos to Orlando. They held their own against Washington. There is going to be so much of this season to play for. Trinity Rodman, she's got goals. She's got assists up her sleeves. And I hope she gets rewarded with a couple national team caps. Aubrey Kingsbury, different last name. Congratulations. I feel like this offseason was the offseason of weddings for people. Will she finally get consistent calls with the women's national team? I had mentioned earlier that I think Casey Murphy is the number one goalkeeper, but I think Aubrey Kingsbury is the number two. Again, sorry, Alyssa Nayer fans, we got to start looking towards the future. Speaking of looking towards the future, can Kelly O'Hara stay healthy for a whole season? I don't know. I have my doubts. I have never been the biggest fan, but I couldn't argue with the fact that she scored that game-winning goal against Chicago in the final. So kudos to her on that. Well, Ashley Hatch finished the leading goal scorer for the NWSL once again. I think that she is somebody who has been overlooked by the national team. I think a lot of people in the women's soccer community don't want to give her credit for whatever reason. Who knows? Who cares? But she is somebody who deserves that credit because she is a very good goal scorer. Their roster was really relatively unchanged this offseason. They lost Paige Nielsen in the expansion draft, and they traded Tegan McGrady to San Diego, and Kumi Yokoyama went to Gotham. But I think one of the biggest things for Washington was just announced yesterday. Angela Salem, she is an assistant coach now for the Washington Spirit. She had done her coaching license and is still continuing with that as well. I've known Angela for a couple years now. Her partner used to play for the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, so I met her through him. And they, both of them, Willie and Angela, are just incredible, awesome people. And for Angela, I mean, she was, you know, I love Jess Fishlock, but Angela Salem was completely robbed of the NWSL MVP award in 2021, in my personal opinion. And her just coming to Washington is a big boost for them and their coaching staff, and a big disadvantage for everyone else, because this is someone who has played against all of these players, except for like rookies and whatnot, in this league. And she knows these players, she knows their tactics, and she is one of the most brilliant tactical minded players in that played in the league. So I'm excited to see her take on a coaching role. And so I think it's cool to see these former players coming into the coaching realm and going to Washington. MLS player, U.S. men's national team player, Lee Wynn, he joined the team last year and he decided to stay on as well this season, signing a one-year contract to stay on Chris Ward's coaching staff. So lots of good stuff for the Washington Spirit. I think Trevor's call for them lifting up the trophy this year, I need to see a little bit more. If I had to pick a team right now, I know I'm a little biased, but I think I would pick OL Reign. with that said, we are going to move on now to our third segment. We are going to go to the round table. I will list the news, and then Trevor, you can come in with any thoughts as well. But first, we're going to start with the biggest news from the last time we talked. Jessica Berman was hired as the NWSL commissioner. She came from the National Lacrosse League. And just something I wanted to point out, and I think I pointed this out when Matt Harvey, Dan, and I recorded the other day, but she had said something during her introductory press conference that I really thought was important and just already shows what type of leader that she's going to be. When she was the commissioner of the Lacrosse League, she said once a week she would have these either Zoom calls or phone meetings with the players, just like a group of the, you know, player leadership. I don't know if it was all of the players or anything, but still she would have representatives for the players come in, equivalent to the NWSL Players Association. And she would just have these kind of phone calls with them, asking them what was on their minds, if anything needed looked at, changed, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But she said, listen, sometimes those meetings would take 5 minutes. Sometimes they would take an hour. So I think that that's a big part of what the NWSL needs is a commissioner that listens, a transparent commissioner, just all of that good stuff to make it a good, solid league. Trevor, any thoughts on our new commissioner?
I agree wholeheartedly. I think it's a solid hire. What I personally liked about it was, from what we hear, she was one of four finalists, and those finalists were all interviewed by the players themselves, or I should say a group of players, not just, you know, within the NWSLPA. So it's good that the players themselves were brought into this decision. I think that's always a great thing, especially when you're a league that's looking for that fresh start, that's looking to put all of the drama of last season, all of the horrendous things we heard about throughout the year, just put that behind them and really grow a league in a positive environment, in an environment that supports its players. So this was a really good step in that direction. As far as what she'll be like in the future, I think that unfortunately remains to be seen, just because in these situations, you really can't know for sure until you know. And so hopefully we don't have anything happen again. But I think, like you said, her opening remarks at the beginning of her introductory press conference were good, because if something were to happen, I think she's the right person to have at the helm, and we'll see how she does. But I think that on paper from what we hear from the players, which I take stock in the most, if the players are for it and they're with it and they're in agreement on it, then I can only be happy for it. And I really hope it works out, because I love this league, and I think that we should be here talking every week about soccer and the matches and the players and people like Trinity Rodman getting a bunch of money, because that's what makes sports great. So hopefully this is a step in that direction, and I'm happy for it.
And just to repeat, by the way, Trinity Rodman, she did get the money. She got the bag.
I can't not talk about her enough. Brief tidbit, I was at the She Believes Cup matches here in LA, obviously, because I've been going to everything soccer in LA for the last few months. But just, I missed the goal, unfortunately, but I was happy to see her out there, happy to see her playing. She is worth the hype. Just in person watching her, she stands out on the pitch levels above a lot of people. And so I'm all for it. All the money can go to Trinity. I would recommend that for any team trying to be successful.
Smashing the retweet button on that, because I got to see her live in Louisville, got to photograph her. So I was right by the greatness on the pitch. She really is a wonderful player to watch. Washington, you done did yourself a good by keeping her, retaining her, and giving her all that shmoney. Speaking of shmoneys, the NWSL history has been made. The first ever collective bargaining agreement was ratified by the players. I haven't really seen a lot of updates, but I assume it got passed by the board. The board of governors. But I'm taking this from Trevor's colleague, Alicia Rodriguez, from their site, Angels on Parade. It is a SB Nation sub-site, I guess is a good word for that. The NWSL collective bargaining agreement, couple things here. Players got, for the first time ever in league history, free agency, which will go into effect in the 2022-2023 offseason. And then quoting from Alicia's article, pay increases across the board and the minimum salary going up to $35,000. Other material benefits, including increased bonuses and severance pay and continued housing and health insurance for 30 days for waived players, provides more stability for the player pool. So a lot of good stuff. We don't have time to go over everything, but history is history, and this is huge. And free agency this off season is going to be, or this coming off season is going to be just absolutely bonkers. Right, Trevor?
Yes, this is why I say be very worried that there are two Southern California teams in this league. We now have free agency. Players will be able to choose where they want to play, have a lot more control over their careers. I'm 100% for that. I think in addition to all of that that you did mention, there's also like some part of revenue sharing for TV deals. I think it's at 10% with the ability to go up 4% year by year. So this is why it's so important when we say invest in women's sports, because the higher the TV deal and the more that advertisements and companies get into that, then the more money that goes back to the players, which is always a great thing. So as you said, this was history. It was great that it got done. Can't say enough how happy I am. The players seem ecstatic. Again, that's always what I look for, is how are the players reacting to it? They seem happy for it. And this is the start of something beautiful. As you mentioned, free agency in the NWSL now. I mean, the chaos that's going to ensue over the next couple of years is going to be just fascinating and so much fun to watch. I hope you guys have your popcorn ready, because it's going to be incredible.
Have your popcorn ready indeed, folks. It's going to be a wild, wild ride. But who needs to rush an offseason in free agency when we've got a whole summer of soccer coming up? Oh my gosh, yeah, I just definitely said the word summer. Crazy. Speaking of summer, the Women's CONCACAF World Cup qualifiers. So just to kind of give you a little bit of background, the next international window in April is the end of the qualifiers to the qualifiers. I wrote an article for Equalizer Soccer kind of breaking down the new qualification for the 2023 Women's World Cup and the 2024 Olympics over at Equalizer. I will attach it into the Last Word on Soccer post here, along with Alicia's article as well on the NWSL CBA. But the qualifier to the qualifiers in April, the top teams in the six groups will advance to the summer qualification tournament, and they will be joined by the United States and Canada, who got an automatic bid. And right now, in real time, folks, CONCACAF Women's qualifiers, we are going to see who those first place teams are right now. In Group A, it is Mexico. In Group B, Guatemala, with Costa Rica hot on their heels. Group C is the Dominican Republic, with Jamaica hot on their heels. Group D is Panama, and then El Salvador in second. Group E is Cuba, and then right behind them, Haiti. And then Group F is Guyana, and then Trinidad and Tobago is right on their heels as well. Although Nicaragua making a strong, strong push after, I think they had a 19-0 win over Turks and Caicos Islands. Some of these matches have had lopsided scores, of course, but as we get into the last window here, those top teams are going to be playing those second place teams. And really the winner of those games is going to be the one who moves on to the summer tournament with the United States and Canada. So that tournament in the summer in July, from the 4th through the 18th, will be held in Monterrey, Mexico. At first, it was rumored that it was going to be in Guadalajara, but it will stay in Mexico, but now in Monterrey, which is the home of CF Monterrey, also known as Rayados and Rayados for the men, and also for Tigres. So this summer, the tournament, again, July 4th through the 18th, the last time that a CONCACAF Women's World Cup qualifier was held in Mexico, the United States actually went to an intercontinental playoff against Italy. They did not get an automatic qualification spot. Trevor, I don't think that'll happen again, but this year, to be completely honest with you, I have a lot of hot takes. I believe the first four teams get an automatic qualifier, and then the two third place teams will go into an intercontinental playoff. To me, I think Costa Rica is going to be back in the World Cup in some shape or form. I really, really, really hope that happens. I am a huge fan of both the Ticos and the Ticas. Sorry to all my Canadian friends. I hope they beat you tonight. But anyway, just any thoughts about World Cup qualifying in CONCACAF on this tournament being held in Monterrey, or any qualification hot takes?
I don't know if it's a hot take. I will just take this moment because I am a Mexican national fan for both men and women. So, yes, that's me. I just want to praise the Mexican national team, the women's side, because their growth over the last few years has been so much fun to watch. And the last window that they just had this past winter, I almost said summer, summer's not here yet. This past winter, right around the same time as the She Believes Cup was going on, they put in a couple really good performances. We're on the right side of some of those lopsided scores. I think, you know, we're sitting here a mere couple hours away from USA, Mexico on the men's side. So I think the fact that the Mexican women's side that's doing so well, improving vastly over the last couple of years, I think that it's setting up to make this really a fun rivalry, a proper rivalry. And to see them doing well is great. I remember the years when they would go out and it didn't matter who they played, they'd likely lose 5-6-0. And it wasn't fun. Soccer was not fun then. It was just pain and sadness and darkness. So to see them finally scoring goals, looking great. I'm excited. Hopefully they sneak into that next round of playoffs so that they can really show what they're made of against the U.S. Because I think if they can win a couple of those matches and get into the World Cup and really make some noise, it'll set up what can be a really fun rivalry for years to come, especially when you look at Liga MX Femenil just raising the bar and really, as you mentioned before, fighting with the NWSL for best league in the world. We now have three legitimate leagues with the FAWSL, Liga MX Femenil, and the NWSL, where they're really, you know, 1A, 1B, 1C in terms of quality leagues and quality players and star power and just entertainment value. So I think it's great. I think watching Mexico do well is fun. As always, I'm biased, so make sure you check out all of Angel City and Wave players as they head out to their various countries to represent. So it's going to be fun. I can't wait. I always love international footy, and it should be a fun qualification period for the summer.
So two things to mention on Trevor's point. Number one, I am also a big Mexico national team fan, both men's and women's. But tonight, I'm not allowed to be a men's fan because that'll root for the boys. Sorry, Trevor. It's going to be a great game.
It'll make it even better when we win. And yeah. I very much mean Mexico.
Listen, I might be rooting for the U.S., but I'm also a realist. I know what's going to happen. It's the Azteca. Just enough said there. Like you guys.
I mean, and all respect to the U.S. team, there's a lot of players on there that I really like. You guys, I mean, like, I'm just a fan of the sport. So to watch the growth, as I mentioned, the growth for the Mexican women's side, the growth for the U.S. men's side has been incredible the last few years. And so to see them finally beating us and really making it a competition is exhilarating. It's like, oh, man, this is a team we legitimately have to watch for. And I hope both teams are in the World Cup for 2022, because it would be a shame if one of them had to miss out. It really would.
Facts, and smashing again the retweet button on that. But the reason why the Mexican women's team has just been having these incredible wins, by the way, beating Suriname 9-0, and then they beat Antigua and Barbuda 8-0. So yes, putting in some very, very, very good shifts. It is Liga MX Femenil, like Trevor said. You know, I got the chance this season to talk to both Christina Birkenrode and Bianca Sierra, and they both said, listen, without this league, we would not be where we're at right now. They have what Canada needs, a league internally that is finding these young players like Caddy Martinez, and Alison Gonzalez and so many others that are going to help their national team instead of hoping and praying that those good players get picked up by a European club and perform well there. So having an internal league, a domestic league, it helps. So Canada, you might want to get on the program. But
definitely.
The only hot take that I think I have for the CONCACAF women's qualifiers is, to be honest with you, I don't think Jamaica makes it. I think Dominican Republic makes it. They have had some very good showings in their matches. They put in some very good shifts during their Women's World Cup qualifiers, beating Grenada 9-0 and then the Cayman Islands 4-0. Those two sides, Jamaica and Dominican Republic, will face off on April 12th. That's definitely going to be my match to watch, along with Costa Rica and Guatemala on April 12th as well. But moving on to the last of the segments, and then we're going to kind of close it out here soon so Trevor and I can get ready, get our kits on, and then smack talk each other on Twitter for a little bit. it's all love, though. All love between us.
Always.
We are going to do our what to watch the NWSL games this weekend, and we are going to do pick'ems for them. So Trevor, we've got on Friday, March 25th, Racing Louisville versus the Houston Dash at 7:30 p.m. All of these games, by the way, I'm not going to repeat it each time. They're all going to be on Paramount Plus. Washington Spirit versus Gotham FC, also at 7:30. And then Chicago Red Stars versus Kansas City Current at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. And then on Sunday, March 26th, we will have Angel City, Trevor's Angel City FC versus my OL Reign. Oh, we get to do some more smack talking.
More smack talking.
This is round two, buddy. And that will be at 4 p.m. Eastern time, 1 p.m. Pacific time for Trevor and his pals. Then the North Carolina Courage versus the Orlando Pride at 7 p.m. Eastern. And then the San Diego Wave and Portland Thorns at the nightcap at 10 p.m. Eastern. So starting back here from the beginning, Trevor, Racing Louisville, Houston Dash, who you got?
I have Racing in this one. I think they get it done 2-1.
Oh my God. I said Racing. I didn't say Rossing. Excuse me. Okay. I beg for all of y'all's forgiveness.
Got to say with flair, Rossing Louisville.
So to make up for that forgiveness, I also pick Rossing Louisville. And I think Houston gets another 3-1 defeat. Washington Spirit against the Gotham FC. Who you got?
I think this one ends in a draw. I say 2-2 draw. I think we see a Trinity goal in this one. I mean, for me, this is the game to watch on Friday. Any opportunity you have to watch Trinity Rodman, I think if you have to pick one, it's any match that she's involved in. But yeah, I think this one ends in a 2-2 draw.
The league just released the NWSL injury report. And let me just say that Ife Onamanu is coming back for Gotham as well as Christy Mewis. Washington should be a little bit nervous, but to be honest with you, I think it's a very gritty, tough, physical 1-0 win for Washington because they are going to be a little pissed off about how they played against Orlando. Finishing out the Friday games, Chicago Red Stars, KC Current.
I'm going to go with the surprise. I'm going to say Current with the 2-1 win.
I was also going to pick the Current. So just to change up the score line, I'm going to go. I trust Chicago's defense a little bit, so I'm going to go 1-0 for the KC Current. Here we go. I think I know who we're both picking for this next.
I wonder
why OL Reign is winning this game, Trevor.
You must live in an alternate timeline because I could have swore it was Angel City winning this game with a scoreline of 3-2. I'll give the Reign 2 goals. I'll give them that. As Angel City continues to kind of work out the kinks in the back four with Sarah not there, Is it a back four? Is it going to be a back three? Still kind of undecided. But I think we see a Kristen Press banger. She came close on the debut. She came so close, if not for the save of the week, as we've now learned from Kaylin Sheridan. Great save on that. But yeah, I think we see a Kristen Press banger. I think she gets on a score sheet and Angel City wins 3-2.
Okay, so Kristen Press is allowed to score, but bangers belong to Sofia Huerta. So I'm just going to put that out there. but I'm going to go. I mean, OL Reign's going to win, but by how much? I think they blank them, to be honest with you. I'm not 100% sold on Haracic just yet. I do think she's a good goalkeeper. I will put that out there. I do think she's a good goalkeeper, but it seems like all of a sudden she has just gotten all of this hype and now everybody wants to brand her as the best goalkeeper in the league. And it kind of seemed out of nowhere for me. I don't think she was ever super duper consistent when she would get her time for Gotham, but I do think she is a solid in the goalpost. I think she has a lot of experience. I think she's learned under a lot of good goalkeepers as well. But I do think that OL Reign blanks some. I'm going to go 2-0 in my alternate universe, if you will. All I can hear right now is Matt and because he's a big Rick and Morty fan, along with Dan, talking about the alternate universes.
Yeah. I was thinking more Doctor Strange, but that definitely works as well. I do agree on Haracic. I think that it probably speaks to how great it is and proof of how great it is to be a player on a team with incredible marketing, because to go from Gotham, who have pretty much owned Twitter since they're kind of rebranding, and then to go to Angel City, you're right, she is kind of getting the benefit of that hype machine publicity, where she's quickly becoming the best in the league without really proving it. But I think it's brave to assume nobody on Angel City will score a goal. I just think that their potency in attack is too much to be shut out at any point this year.
If it ends in a draw, I don't know if I'm going to be disappointed, but I feel like I'll be disappointed just because of this segment of our pod here.
future rivalry. I will say that. I think this is, like I've said before, I think this is the start of a beautiful rivalry. I don't like really talking about MLS too much when it comes to NWSL, but these are two teams that we see with the schedule this year. They're going to be playing kind of these double headers where you're going to have LAFC against the Sounders, and then Angel City against the Reign. And they're doing it once in June and then the reverse in LA in July, though the one in LA is going to be one plays one day, one plays the other. But it's still, I think you're going to get enough of these friendly double headers to where it's that familiarity is going to breed contempt really quick, especially if these two are competing for playoff spots and being best in the league. So it'll be fun.
I agreed. I think the West has this West Conference in the Challenge Cup has the potential to have a lot of different rivalries in it. Moving on to the North Carolina Courage versus Orlando Pride. I think this is probably, it might not seem like the sexiest match on paper, but I think it's one of the more intriguing matches this weekend. And I think it's going to be another 2-0 win for North Carolina.
I agree. I think I was going to say 2-0 win for North Carolina. I think there'll be too much for the Pride. I think that we're on full agreement on that one.
I'm going to save the Pride scoring and bangers, hopefully, for when they play Gotham on Wednesday next week, because I will be there photographing and I would like to photograph a Marta banger, please and thank you, with the cherry on top. San Diego, what did you call it? San Diego Wave?
The Wave. The Wave. You got to put like a little accent on it. The Wave.
I think I saw that on Twitter the other day. So let's roll with it. San Diego Wave versus.
Oh, that's their name. Whether they like it or not, their name in the streets is forever going to be the San Diego Wave.
Just like how, whether they like it or not, it's crossing Louisville. So
exactly. So they might as well embrace it.
They get no say so. It has been deemed on the Last Word Soccer Club Radio podcast. Time of recording, March 24th at almost 9 o'clock p.m. You can mark that one down, folks. Who do you got here and why?
I think this will be another draw. I think this ends in a 1-1 draw. San Diego, first match at home. I know, and I'm partially to blame for this, but the hype last weekend was all about the Angel City FC. They were the ones playing host, so they were the ones talked about. But San Diego made their NWSL debut last week. They'll be making their home debut this weekend, so I think they'll be motivated for that. But the Portland Thorns are still one of those teams where they've been together for so long, they know what to expect. Even if they're taking this Challenge Cup tournament as some sort of preseason and taking it easy, so to speak, I think they'll do enough to get the results. So I think we're looking at a 1-1 draw on that one.
I think it's lame that they're playing in their training tops, but to be honest with you, I think there's going to be a lot of S housing in this game. And I think it's going to be a scoreless draw.
Okay.
I'm getting 0-0 vibes here. I don't know why. But you raise very good points, Trevor, about the quote other California team. But folks, if you are interested in any international women's soccer this weekend, we've got some games being streamed and on the television this weekend, and there are definitely some good ones. In Australia on the East Coast, if you want to wake up super duper early and or just like not sleep at all, I guess. And on Trevor's Coast, the Pacific time zone, if you want to stay up a little bit past your bedtime, the grand finale will be between Sydney FC and Melbourne Victory. The streaming is on YouTube TV. It is at 1:05 a.m. ET on Sunday. And then I believe Saturday that would be 10:05. PMET. I am not the best at Pacific time, but I think that sounds about right. As you all know, me plus numbers equals no bueno. In Mexico on Monday, March 28th, it's not the sexiest matchup, but it's on TUDN. Toluca will host Querétaro at 7 p.m. Eastern. That one's easy math. That would be 4 p.m. Eastern on the Pacific coast. In England, Arsenal versus Tottenham, Arsenal being Trevor's team. Give it a whoop whoop for us. Whoop whoop.
Yes, Arsenal, the junior.
And
top of the league right now. Came away with a crucial 1-1 draw at home in the Champions League yesterday. So that was really fun to watch. Well, it wasn't fun to watch. It was anxiety writing, but it was a great result.
If y'all aren't watching the Champions League yet, the Women's Champions League, Wednesday and Thursday doing, next
first
week.
Of all.
Yeah, seriously, you need to do it. It's been super duper bonkers, and I love me an underdog, so go Juventus. Arsenal and Tottenham on Saturday, March 26th at 10:15 a.m. Eastern. Trevor, you're waking up early for this one at 7:15 a.m. Pacific. It is on Atta Football. Sunday, Manchester United will host Everton at 7:30 a.m. Eastern. That would be 4:30 Eastern, or I'm sorry, 4:30 Pacific time in the a.m. In Spain, you can watch FC Barcelona take on Madrid CFF at 7 a.m. Eastern, 4 a.m. Pacific on Atta Football on Saturday morning. Atta Football, by the way, subscriptions aren't badly priced. An annual, which I have, is $59 a year, and then it is also $6.99 per month. And then, like I had mentioned on, I think it's called DAZN, but DAZN, YouTube, I will tweet out the link as well on my personal account. And we will put a link in the show notes as well. Women's Champions League, it has been awesome. But side note, Trevor, I don't know if you saw my tweet, but it's so I've been watching the games while doing my day job as well. Having dual monitors is definitely a plus. But my stupid self didn't realize that for the PSG Bayern game that there was more than one stream. There was one stream in English and one in French. And I spent 90 minutes watching soccer in French when I could have been in English. But I did fix the mistake ahead of the second game, which was the Barcelona Real Madrid game. So yes, if you want to watch it in those native languages, you absolutely can, but there are English links, folks. That is completely free. It is live streamed on the DAZN YouTube channel. So definitely watch those. Leg two is going to be super duper awesome. There were some really crazy games in leg one. But we're going to move on to last words, and then we're going to tell you about our super duper amazing, awesome, sponsors. Right now we're going to pour one out for a live score update for El Salvador and Jamaica 1-1. Shout out to our friend Harvey Cruz, La Selecta. I think that makes them officially out now. But anyway, Trevor, go ahead. Any last words, my friend? Tell us where people can find you as well.
Well, as always, I'm on Twitter, at Treb Tracy. That's TrebTracy. And then you could also read everything from me over on Angels on Parade and LAG Confidential. As Rachel mentioned, it's a kind of like a sub, it covers the LA area in terms of all of you need to know for LA soccer between the two sites. And yeah, final words, it's great to start a new season. I'm really happy to be here. I'm really happy to be talking about matches. I'm super excited that Angel City and the Wave have finally taken the pitch. All of the hype, all of the buildup, all of the preseason Zoom calls, and just all of the madness leading up to it. It felt so good to be out there. Like I said, just in the middle of the drums going off and the flares popping and fans screaming and 90 plus minutes of singing and chanting. Though I will say, I think American soccer needs to work on the chants, because I can only hear Dale Dale so many times before losing my mind, especially covering LA teams. So I hear it like every match, but that's beside the point. I'm just really happy to get this season going. I'm excited for Angel City. I'm excited for the Wave. And I'm excited for all of LA. As we all know, the World Cup is going to be making its way to North America 2026. And I've said it before, I always say it, this to me is really the foundation of what we need to make sure that that World Cup is one of, if not the best World Cups ever, because with soccer growing in popularity in this country, I think it's only right we continue to grow it. This season is going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully I'll be here to talk more NWSL in the weeks and months to come. But yeah, I'm just excited. Rachel, I'm happy. The season's here. This is all I could ask for. This is great.
We said it the last time that Trevor and I would be back for your podcast pleasure, your women's soccer podcast pleasure, and we will definitely be doing this again. I love doing these. These are so much fun, and we couldn't do it without our super duper sponsors. So before I get into my last words, I'm going to tell you about our two sponsors. We want to thank Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get your custom scarves for your group or your team today at roughneckscarves.com. And then Trevor, my friend, are you tired of the same old uniforms and cookie cutter templates from Nike and Adidas?
Yes, I am.
Are you looking for a unique and completely custom kit for your youth, club, Sunday league squad, adult, or even pro team? Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price with the motto, any design you want. Seriously, let them help you create your new custom kit today at IcarusFC.com. And again, we wouldn't be here without the Beautiful Game Network, without Last Word on Sports Incorporated. And shout out to Matt for letting me take the reins tonight for this once again. So big ups to him. I always forget when we do last words, when I pod with the guys, to drop my Twitter. So you can follow me on Twitter at Rachel Krigger. There are two A's in my name, not just one. Shout out to my mom for that. But no big last words for me. Just, again, echoing Trevor's words, I'm super excited about an NWSL season. Excited for my first full season living in the outside the Orlando area, God willing. And cannot wait to get back pitch side, shooting some games. And Trevor, I totally forgot, coming up, Orlando City hosts your LAFC, so I finally get to see LAFC in person for the first time, shooting some pictures for them for Last Word on Soccer.
Enjoy that.
I'm so excited. And just because I keep forgetting to share this, it was my 4-year anniversary the other day with Last Word on Soccer. I can't believe it. The time has flown. I'm so grateful for everything. Matt, Dan, John Bava, before before me have done, Mike Kovacs and all of the others. So love our Last Word on Soccer family. We're a big, friendly, crazy, crazy bunch. And this has been a lot of fun. Trevor and I will definitely be back at some point during the Challenge Cup to talk about the NWSL, to talk about women's soccer, hopefully to talk about those CONCACAF qualifiers. And just everyone enjoy the NWSL. It's a great league. As Trevor said earlier, invest in women's sports. Absolutely 100% every single step of the way. And listeners, we will see you next time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's been great. See you hopefully soon. Season starts April 29th. Angel City host at the bank. Over 15,000 people will be there. Make sure you watch it. Make sure you check it out. 2022, we're here.
Whoop, whoop.